what they are and what their purpose was. We looked at the first three, which, of course, address our relationship with our Heavenly Father. No other gods. That holds true today. It's repeated in the New Testament. No graven image holds true today and is in the New Testament. And the other one, anybody? No other gods, no graven image. Anybody remember last week's? Tanya? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. So all of these have to do with reverence for our Heavenly Father. Amen? Acknowledging He's the only one. Acknowledging that there are no other gods. Acknowledging that worshiping anything other than the God of heaven is wrong and violates His law, but also is blasphemous. That brings us to the fourth commandment tonight, which is unique in that it is neither directly addressing our relationship with our Heavenly Father nor our relationship with man, as we'll see, but it is a sign between God and His chosen people, Israel, and we'll understand that better tonight. But here in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that was in thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So tonight we understand the Sabbath day. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Pray for your guidance as we study it tonight, as we learn. Lord, may it be ever so clear to us the purpose of this commandment. And Lord, where we stand as your children in the church age. But Lord, we pray that we would be true to your word tonight and that Jesus would be lifted up and magnified. And you speak to our hearts through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So some very important words in this passage that we need to focus on. Obviously, the word holy, the word labor and work, and the word seventh are very important words. So over the past few centuries, there's been some huge misinterpretations, I'll call them, or misunderstandings about what the Sabbath day is. One misunderstanding that came about maybe 150 years ago was that the Sabbath day wasn't necessarily Saturday, but that it was just a day that we are to have a day of rest. And for many years, especially back in the mid to late 1800s, preachers would refer to Sunday as the Sabbath. And they basically reset in their program. The Sunday became Sabbath. They called it Sabbath and held that, yes, that's the day of rest and a day of worship and so forth. That's a huge misuse of the understanding of Scripture. The word seven is a very important number to God, obviously, and the Sabbath day is the seventh day, and that would say that somewhere along the way that the Jews lost track of the Sabbath day, which they would never do because we know how important it was and is to them. Even when Jesus was on earth, they worshiped on the Sabbath day, the Jews did in their synagogues. If they had somehow miscalculated along the way, do you think Jesus might have helped them to understand, hey, guys, by the way, this isn't really Saturday anymore? No, they never lost count. They never lost track. And the seventh day has always been Saturday. Mariana's here tonight. Mariana, what's the Spanish word for Saturday? I know this, but you can tell me. Sábado. Do you know what sábado means? It means Sabbath. It's true in just about every other language. The word for Saturday is tied to the word for Sabbath. So man did not lose track. And so that's one misapplication, if you will. And that was just a lot like the gap theory that was given to try to accommodate carbon dating. It was kind of a way of accommodating the Seventh-day Adventists, if you will, by saying, no, this is the Sabbath. It's any day. It doesn't have to be Saturday. That's not true. Saturday is the seventh day. It always has been and will be until Jesus blows the trumpet. Sunday is and always has been the first day of the week. So, Christians go to church on Sunday. And so the other misapplication or misinterpretation is that, and that's primarily been put forward by the Seventh-day Adventists, but there's actually, at least in America, there's Seventh-day Baptists. And their assertion is that we are still bound to keep the Sabbath as Christians and that we are essentially breaking God's commandment every week by not observing the Sabbath day, but having reset it, if you will, and they believe that we go to church on Sunday, not because of Scripture, but because the Catholic Church told us we should, and that we're obeying the Catholic Church by going to church on Sunday. Does anybody here go to church on Sunday because the Catholics told you to? Or because it's the first day of the week, and that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead, and that's the day that we're to lay by Him in store, and so forth. So, it's the first day of the week. That's the day that Jesus arose from the dead. Why would it be on the first day? Well, maybe it was something new, you think? Jesus coming back from the dead and establishing something brand new, and that is now man can receive eternal life by trusting in Jesus Christ as the crucified and risen one. So those are two things that have been put forward over the years, and we will see why neither one of them works. But let's just start with some of these key words. This word labor and work, or the word labor and work, this principle carries over into the New Testament in that God created us to work, right? We know this because, well, first he says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But we get to the New Testament and God repeats it for us. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and see that God still intends for man to work. And we're not talking here about working for the Lord, okay? We're not trying to be all spiritual. We're talking here about working for your living, working to feed your family. This has been a scriptural principle from the beginning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. So here's a New Testament church epistle command. So no matter how dispensational you want to be, you can be ultra. It's still a church epistle that clearly says that we are to work with our own hands. Amen. While you're in Thessalonians, look at chapter 2. Or sorry, the 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Sorry about that. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. And this one drives it home. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Socialism has never been in the scriptures. In Bible days, even at times of Jesus, you either worked or you begged or you starved to death or your family took care of you. Those were basically your only options because God created us to work. So that's a principle found in this passage, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, that does carry over definitely into the church age. And that is God expects us to work. That's pretty basic, isn't it? He does have a principle there about resting. But for a Christian, we're told that our day of rest is yet to come. Because it doesn't come until heaven. But we need to first understand about the law again. Let's just quickly review on that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, while you're in the New Testament. And just confirm yet again that as precious as they are to people, the Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross. We know this because God tells us so. 2 Corinthians 3:7. But the ministration of, if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones, so first of all, we know what he's talking about, right? God did not write the entire law of Moses in stone, did he? He only put the Ten Commandments in stone. And that's what went into the Ark of the Covenant. So now we know what he's talking about. Because, you know, a Seventh-day Adventist will try to tell you, yes, the law was nailed to the cross, but only the ceremonial law, not the moral law. This is their argument, that the law is actually different kinds of law. And there are. But let's just carry on in the passage. So we know what he's talking about. Engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness succeed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. So he refers to it as a ministration of death, a ministration of condemnation. And he tells us there in verse 11 that it was to be done away. When was it done away? Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, and we will see when it was done away. But that passage is undeniably referring to the Ten Commandments, because it's talking about engraven in stones. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, what happened to it? The Bible says it was nailed to his cross. And God actually addresses the Sabbath here in this next verse. Look at it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the, what? Sabbath days. Now, Seventh-day Adventists will tell you that doesn't apply to the weekly Sabbath. That's different Sabbath days. That's how they get around it. Did you know that the Sabbath, which is quite a fascinating thought, is only mentioned in this passage? Once it's talked about in Acts, once the Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 18, verse 6, that's it, I'm going to the Gentiles. From that point until the end of Revelation, it's mentioned one time, and that's here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, which is to tell us not to judge based on the Sabbath days. You would think that if it was super important, it would be mentioned at least a couple of times, don't you think? Between Acts and Revelation, it's not. It's not there. Paul, in Acts chapter 18, verse 6, let's see what he said. And from that point forward, the word is never mentioned again except in Colossians, to say, don't judge based on the Sabbath days. Acts chapter 18, verse 6. And when they had opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And from that verse forward, the word Sabbath is not in the scriptures again, except in Colossians 2, to say don't judge by it. So that's pretty interesting. The word Sabbath doesn't show up in the book of Proverbs, not once. And in the book of Acts, chapter 15 and chapter 21, the Gentiles wanted to know what they were supposed to do. Now that they were Christians, the Jews were just like the Charismatics are today. Did you know the Charismatics get most of their attendees from Christians, not from non-Christians? So what they do is they hear about somebody just getting, oh, that's good that you just got saved. Let me tell you about tongues. So the Judaizers were doing the same thing. They were basically following Paul and his entourage around, and they'd go into a city and they'd plant a church. And then what do? They come in and start saying, well, it's good that you got saved, but it's just not enough. Now you need to get circumcised, and you need to keep the law. or you're not Christians anymore. And Paul had to keep writing these epistles to correct these teachings. But anyway, when this question finally began to arise among these Gentile churches, they didn't know what to do. So they wrote to the apostles and said, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? Do we have to get circumcised or not? Do we have to keep the law or not? And they had a big Bible conference, the first Bible revival, Acts chapter 15. All the apostles got together and they had this big conference. And their conclusion was that the Gentile churches, that would include us, amen, had some instructions. And guess what? The word Sabbath isn't even mentioned. Let's look at it, Acts 15. Now, you would think if it was that important for the Gentile churches to keep the Sabbath, now Seventh-day Adventists will tell you, oh, well, they were already keeping the Sabbath. Really? Based on what? Show me that in his Bible. The Gentiles were keeping the Sabbath. It's not in the Scriptures. Notice, how far do we go? Just verse 29 of chapter 15. That ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled or from fornication. That's it. That was their instructions. Anybody see the word Sabbath there? It's just not there. Same thing happened in chapter 21. Again, Sabbath not mentioned. So unless you're going to try to reverse push the Gentiles into the Sabbath, which you cannot find in Scripture, it obviously wasn't important enough for them to even mention it to the Gentile churches because it was not something the Gentiles had to keep. So we've established the first reason why Christians are not bound to keep the Sabbath, and that is the law was nailed to the cross. If somebody wants to deny that, that's fine, but it's just so clear in the Scripture. But the second reason, which is even more convincing, and that is that the Sabbath was a sign between God and Israel. Now, God has had signs for many of his covenants, has he not? He made a covenant with Noah. Did he give him a sign to back up the covenant? Yeah. What is it? You kids know? What was the sign for Noah? A rainbow. So every time we look at a rainbow, oh yeah, God made a promise to Noah that he wouldn't flood the earth again. Then he made a promise to a man named Abraham. He said, I'm going to make a new nation of you. And those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you and your people will be cursed, and so forth. And I'm going to give you a sign. Anybody know what that sign was? Circumcision. So here now we have Israel receiving the law many centuries later. And you know what God's sign was? The Sabbath. Now how do we know this? Well, because Genesis tells us. So look, let's look at Exodus 31. I mean, the Bible tells us. I was looking at my notes here. So here's another argument of the Seventh-day Adventists. God established the Sabbath at creation and man had been keeping it all along. And when God gave the law, everybody was already keeping the Sabbath. The problem with that logic is, who wrote Genesis? Anybody know? I mean, human-wise, we know God wrote it, but Moses. So at the same time that God gave Moses the law, he also gave him the book of Genesis. There was no written word up to that point at all. Not until Moses was there any written word of God. So to then take the book of Genesis, which was written by God through Moses, and say, oh, now I'm going to take that and reverse that back 15 centuries or whatever, and say, well, man had been keeping the Sabbath all along. Show me one verse. Just show me one and I'll believe you. But you're not going to find it. Because guess what? It's not there. That man was keeping the Sabbath up until now, up until Exodus. It's just not in the Scriptures. But what is in the Scriptures is that Exodus 31, verse 14, ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. So now we see that the first four commandments all carry the death penalty. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among the people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual, there's that word, covenant. It's a covenant. It is a sign, verse 17, between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Yes, it does say it was a sign forever. So if we're going to rightly divide the word, that would mean that the Sabbath applies to the Jews forever. That's what it says, right? Which would mean that if we're going to rightly divide the word, that the tribulation period, which is Jewish, we would all agree, right? It's Daniel's 70th week, it's the time of Jacob's trouble, is a Jewish dispensation. So does that mean during the tribulation period that the Sabbath will be observed again? Let's look at Matthew 24 and see if maybe that's a possibility. That the Sabbath is a sign between God and who? Israel. Forever. So if for that to hold true, then the sign or the sign of that covenant that he made with Israel would carry through into a Jewish dispensation. So Matthew chapter 24, by the way, this is all about the tribulation period. We're learning this in our eschatology class. Amen, students? That this does not apply to today. It's not about... So when you see an earthquake, it doesn't mean that the Antichrist is here. No, none of that's happening until after the rapture. But since this is a tribulation period, what's it say in verse 20? Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Which means in the tribulation, the Sabbath will be observed. It would also mean that the Sabbath would have to be observed during the kingdom, because we all agree the kingdom is Jewish. Amen? We just get in on the program, but it's a Jewish kingdom with a Jewish king. Right? So let's see Isaiah 66:23, and let's see if the Sabbath will again be observed in the kingdom. Isaiah chapter 66. And by the way, there's more than one verse. I'm just giving you some samples. So Isaiah 66, verse 23, this whole chapter, by the way, is about the kingdom, the coming kingdom, the kingdom of, is it the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, Pippa? The coming kingdom, is it the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven?
You said heaven first.
You were right the first time. Remember, heaven's a physical, literal place. The kingdom of heaven is a physical, literal kingdom. The kingdom of God is spiritual because God is a spirit. That helps us remember that when we're born again, we're born into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven's yet to come. That's the millennial kingdom. And this whole chapter is about that kingdom. We know this because it's clearly explained. But in verse 23, talking about the kingdom, it says, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So yes, even during the kingdom, the Sabbath is reinstituted and observed. Why? Because it was a covenant between God and Israel forever. Now, if I was a Jew and I was a Christian Jew, I'd probably observe the Sabbath because I would be a Jew. But I'm not a Jew. And I don't think anybody in this room is a Jew. And the Sabbath is not repeated in the New Testament as a command, not one time. Now we have many examples of Jesus in the minds of the scribes and Pharisees breaking the Sabbath and angering the scribes and the Pharisees. And that angered them more than just about anything, didn't it? Except the word repent. Was when he would do something on the Sabbath day. Sometimes it just said they were so angry they wanted to kill him right then. And then Jesus just said, well, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath too. And if your ox falls in the ditch, are you going to leave it there till tomorrow because it's the Sabbath day? Or are you going to pull it out of the ditch? So why get angry at me for healing people on the Sabbath day? But they didn't listen today. So the Sabbath is not Sunday. And we don't call it Sabbath school. We call it Sunday school. And we don't do that because the Catholics told us to, do we? We do it because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. And every week we come together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 says that he came together at a Gentile church to preach on the first day of the week. And then when Paul is instructing the church about offerings in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, upon the first day of the week, he says. So it is in the scriptures, first day of the week. And when we get together, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Sunday. We're not Jews. So this sign that God made between Israel and himself does not apply to you and me because we're not Jews. It was nailed to the cross. Every other commandment, as we will see, and as we've seen up to now, the first three commandments have been repeated in the New Testament by either Jesus or the apostles. As soon as that happens, that becomes one of Jesus' commandments. And if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. But the Old Testament law was nailed to the cross. As soon as it's given in the New Testament, now it's ours. But it's not given, this one. You cannot find it. You can find Colossians chapter 2, which says, don't judge based on it. But you cannot find one verse in the New Testament that says, keep the Sabbath. It isn't there. So that's pretty simple. That Sabado is the Sabbath. It's Saturday. Amen, Mariana. And that Sunday is the first day of the week. And that we don't have to keep the Sabbath. Two reasons. Number one, it was nailed to the cross, not repeated. Number two, it is a sign between God and the nation of Israel forever. So it will be reinstituted in the tribulation, which is Jewish. And it will be reinstituted in the kingdom, which is Jewish. Who knows? Maybe for eternity. Although I don't think time will mean much in heaven. We probably won't even have weeks. They just won't mean much once we get up there. But in the kingdom, when we're on earth, all nations will come and worship when? Every Sabbath. So the Sabbath day was a beautiful thing for God to give to his people. He expected them to work. He also wanted them to recognize that he, not because he needed rest, but he chose to take the seventh day because he created everything in six and establish that as a sign between him and Israel. But that sign wasn't made known until Moses. This is very important. Even though it all happened in Genesis chapter 1, that wasn't written down till Moses. So if you want to try to teach that they were observing it before then, fine. But you're not going to find it in the Bible. It just isn't there. Matter of fact, other than Genesis, it's not the first two chapters of Genesis, it's not even mentioned again until Moses. So the Sabbath day, you will get to keep the Sabbath when you come back with Jesus on a white horse to the kingdom. Amen. That'll be fine with me. For now, don't let a Seventh-day Adventist try to pressure you into believing that you are breaking God's commandment every week, or that you have chosen to take the mark of the beast by going to church on Sunday, which they still believe. They may not publish it, but they still believe it, that that is the mark of the beast, and therefore we've all condemned our souls to hell by going to church on Sunday. They truly believe that. Don't let them. Just believe this. They can't back it up. And you know where their whole thing comes from? Their whole teaching system, you know what it's based on? It's based on a dream that a woman had. She had a dream. And she wrote a book about it called The Great Controversy. And in her dream, God took her to heaven and showed her the Ten Commandments. And then he took the fourth one and lifted it up higher than the other ten. And she decided to establish a new religion based on that dream. And now people still follow it today. This late Latter-day prophet. Her name is, slipped my mind. Ellen G. White, thank you. I was confusing her with the founder of the Christian Science. Ellen G. White. I don't recommend you read The Great Controversy. Don't waste your time. Just know that their entire system rises and falls on the dream of Ellen G. White, not on this. The Sabbath day. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, that it's so clear. And Lord, that you have blessed us in this dispensational, parenthetical time called the time of grace, the church age, with the freedom to worship you whatever day we like. And Lord, it's a blessing that every Sunday we remember that you rose from the dead on the first day of the week and reset everything for us as non-Jews. Thank you for your word and the clarity of it. And Lord, thank you that we can look forward to worshiping you and all nations worshiping you in that kingdom age here on earth. We just can't wait. But thanks for speaking to our hearts and teaching us.